Hey, welcome online guests to our online NCC service. So glad that you're here today. I do have a slight caveat though. If you're a guest online today and it's your first time listening, I have to give you a little bit of an apology because this is sort of the annual tithing message. Don't shut it off though. I hope you stay with us, but I do have to say that it's not really for you, and we're not a church that asks people to tithe if they're just not there yet or they're just not a part of our church. But we do believe that talking about money is important. We do that from time to time. We've been doing a whole series on it called Strapped, and we're going to continue to do that today because the Bible talks a lot about money. Jesus talks a lot about money. And so this topic of tithing is in the Bible a lot too, as you'll see today. And yet it's a very, very difficult topic. Money can be very personal. And so I bring this message with a great deal of humility and but hopefully the Spirit of God leading through His Word. We do have a bit of a problem in the church today, and that's another reason why I would bring this message, and that is tithing, or what they call religious giving, has gone down significantly through the years, as less and less people are coming to church. That's a part of it, but also just our affinity to the church or our belief in the Bible and the teachings of the Scripture. Since 1990, we're told religious giving has gone down 50%. That is just a huge amount. And so God's commands are not followed, and His church is the one that's hurt. And even though, in a sense, He doesn't need our money, and yet He's taught us that this is something that we're to do to obey Him. So today I want to give four sort of pretty straight up reasons why we should tithe, specifically the tithe that the Bible teaches. What is it? Why we should do it? Four big reasons. I think there's probably at least 10 or 12 reasons why we should tithe, but these are reason enough, and probably the top four, at least the ones that I would think about. But let's face it. I mean, tithing is hard. Giving up of something that we value is hard. Tithing is really hard, and the church has always struggled with it. I think it's part of our heart condition. We're always going to struggle with it. I heard about a father who was trying to teach his little daughter how to tithe, and he gave her $2 bills. Thought couldn't really hurt. And she put $1 in one hand and $1 in the other hand. And he said, "Well, I want you to do whatever you want with the $1. That's yours to spend. Whatever you want. Your heart's desire. But the other one I want you to give back to God. And I want you to save that one for Sunday. And when the offering plate comes around, I want you to put that in." And so she was thrilled to have these $2. She immediately ran out the door to the candy store down the street. She tripped and fell, and one of the dollars flew out of her hand and went down the storm drain, never to be seen again. Just completely lost it. But she did not worry. She got up and dusted herself off, and she said, "Well, God, real sorry. There goes your dollar." And that little anecdote is kind of how our hearts often work. I think that most people see it that way. It's my money, you know, and if I lose something, well, that's God's loss. Or maybe we just see it as not His to begin with. And we do find any excuse that we can find to not tithe. And I think that's something that is needs to change. So let's jump right in. The first big reason is probably the least compelling, but it might be the most important. And the first big, most important reason to tithe is because God tells us so. It's because God says so. This may not feel good. This is not one that warms the heart. This isn't the kind of giving like we just did at our Giving It All Away Christmas Eve, where, boy, I don't know about you, but it feels really, really good to give to those causes. This is more of a command. This is more of a duty. And when you're a kid, this is the worst reason your parents can give you for anything. You say, "Well, stop jumping on the bed." And you say, "Well, why?" And they say, "Because I said so. That's why." I know as a parent, I've played that card more than a few times. My kids never liked it. But the truth is, a parent has that card to play. You do have the authority to say, "Because I say so." And more than that, so does God to His children. And so we're to listen in when the Word of God, the Scripture, tells us something. And I want to show you that in a few places, starting in the Old Testament. Leviticus 27:30. This is where Moses is given a very, very clear command. It's not the first time we're commanded to tithe as the people of God, but it's a very clear time. And you can see in that verse, he says to his people, the people of God, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. So really clear command about tithing. There are many of these in the Old Testament, but this one very clear. And we see a few things. We see the idea of one-tenth, which is what a tithe is. We see that they were an agricultural society, so they didn't have dollar bills in their pocket the way we do today, so their tithe came from their produce or could have come from their animals, one-tenth of what they were growing or what they were herding. And we also see that all of this belongs to the Lord, and he sees this as an expectation, and that it's to be set aside as holy. This is something bigger than just money, that God says, I want you to consecrate this tenth, this tithe, as something holy to the Lord. That means you set it apart, you set it aside to the Lord. We see the tithe applied in 2 Chronicles 31, 5 and 6. And here's a passage where you just see what more does it look like. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites, God's people, generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, olive oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them in heap. There was so much because they were tithing that God calls it generous. They had to pile it in heaps. Again, they were an agricultural society, so it came from farming and from herding animals and also from these other things that they had, like the olive oil and honey, and they were just doing this in a way to honor the Lord. We also see here the word first fruits. It says that they gave the first fruits, and this is a part of what tithing means, that we aren't to wait until everything has been expended and all of the bills have been paid and all of our taxes have been paid and all of our extraneous wants have been taken care of. And then we'll see, oh, what's left? And that's what we'll tithe to the Lord. No, this command, it has always been one that says the first fruits. And that word you can see is from an agricultural society. It's what comes right off the top, that we trust God to give it to him first and that he'll sort out the rest of it. And of course, that takes tremendous faith. We also see here and in these passages that the tithe is different than an offering. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, you give your tithes and your offerings. Well, what's the difference? A tithe in the Hebrew language is the word ma'aser, and it means one-tenth. It doesn't mean gift. It doesn't mean giving. It doesn't mean an offering. It's actually a very different word that means one-tenth. This is more of an economy of God. This is how he wanted it to be set up. This is a duty, a command, an obligation of God's people. It's always has been, always will be, until we go to heaven. And it's different than an offering, which also was in the Old Testament, as well as the New, where people would go above and beyond the 10%. And they would have these various offerings throughout the year to have a generous heart and a generous spirit, just as we do at Christmas time, for example. So you can see these different principles. But many people will say, but that's the Old Testament. And God doesn't say so anymore. He did, but when Jesus came and he brought the new covenant, which is true, he did. He changed some things. He abolished the old law. That is partially true, that Jesus did change things. But the truth is he also said, I came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And we see that not all of the old law is to be set aside. And what we have to look for is, did Jesus ever say, don't tithe anymore? Well, the answer is no. And then we also have to say, well, did he say you should tithe? And the answer is yes. So take a look at Matthew 23, verse 23. This is a great passage about tithing, because not only does Jesus affirm the tithe, but he also sets the religious leaders straight, that the tithe is meant to be something that comes out of our hearts. It's meant to be something that is pure. It's not to be legalistic. It's not to be something that we put up above things like justice and mercy. And so here's what he says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, Hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So these Pharisees were taking their dill and their cumin and these tiny little herbs, and they were literally counting them out and spending hours and hours and hours counting them out in a way that was just religious, but not spiritual. And they were doing it in a way to be legalistic and not out of generosity, but just to be cut and dried. And they had all these rules about it. She says, you know, you're missing the point and you're missing greater things like justice. But Jesus has an opportunity right here to say that, you know what, you shouldn't even tithe anymore because that's the old law and I've come to bring the new. But that's not what he says. He says, you should tithe, yes, but don't neglect the important things. And that's his command to the church today. And if you're wondering, the Greek there is very emphatic. This word, you should, is the word that's sometimes translated ought. It's a command of God. He's like, this is something you're supposed to do. We've always been doing it this way. This is what God has set up since the beginning. And of course you're supposed to still do that today, Jesus says. Just don't make it bigger than it is. This is part of our Christian experience. And then fast forward to 1 Corinthians 16. And here we see the first church finally emerging. And of course, we're in the church age. We're part of that history today. So exciting, so awesome. The bride of Christ, the people he loves, his kingdom. And we see the tithe being recognized there. And here's what it says. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches do on the first day of every week. That's Sunday morning by this point. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money, now notice, in keeping with your income. So this is the idea of the tithe, that you're not just giving a periodic offering anymore, but now on Sundays, the first day of the week, when we gather for church, you are to take a percentage of your income. That's what the word tithe means. And here we see it again employed in the very first church. And we've been doing it that way ever since. So there are Christians today that say, well, the tithe is no longer valid. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but it's not the Bible I'm reading. I know that sounds harsh, but the tithe is in the Bible from A to Z, and it's just the way God has always operated. What is true is that we are not to hold it in such a way that's legalistic. That everybody can agree with. And it's also true that, though, that the tithe is probably the bare minimums of what God's people always gave, because usually they gave offerings above and beyond that. We see that in the Old and New Testament as a paradigm. Number two, another big reason to tithe, this one I think is more compelling than the first one, God said so, is because it's part of our worship. And boy, worship is so important. We think of worship as singing sometimes in the church. And of course, singing is one of the beautiful forms of worship of God. And it has been since the earliest days of God's people, that we worship God corporately through song. We may even think of it as reading God's word and prayer. And of course, those are a big part of it. But not too many people see tithing as part of their worship. But that's how God set it up. Tithing is meant to be a way of saying that everything I have belongs to God. Just as we talked about last week, that everything is his. And by submitting to that truth, tithing comes into play. That I say, the money in my pocket doesn't really belong to me. And by tithing each and every week, a percentage, the 10% of my income as a minimum, I'm saying to God, I'm going to give you the first fruits back because it's all yours anyways. And when I have that attitude, I am worshiping God. I have a very worshipful attitude. When I'm walking in the flesh, it says, I really don't want to give that back to God. That's my money. This is my hard-earned money. I have other purposes for that, God. That's when I'm in the flesh. But when I'm in the spirit, I do it with a joyful heart. I do it with generosity. I go above and beyond what God asks me to do. And I also feel very blessed in return. And that's all what worship looks like in tithing. So let's look at it this way. I have, let's say this is $100 happen to have in my pocket because I'm just so rich. And, you know, I have this money. And this money is, it's not my money. And that's the way we ought to look at it. That's the way I look at it. It's not my money. It may be in my pocket, but that's because God entrusted it to me. Just as we saw last week with the parables of the bags of gold, God owned all the gold, make no mistake about it, but he entrusted it to these servants to do a good job with it. And what the tithe teaches is that right off the top, I take this $100 and I take this $10 and I say, look, all of this belongs to you, Lord. All 100 of it is yours. You've asked me for 10. I give you that back. And it's channeled through the local church is the paradigm in the New Testament. And I do that as an act of worship. I want to do that because I love you, Lord, but also because you've loved me. Look how much you've established your provision for me. All of it's yours, Lord, and I give you the $10 back. What we say when we don't tithe is, Lord, this is all mine. And or maybe some tiny amount that I just to make myself feel like I feel better about it. This is my money. And we don't acknowledge God, and it does not become a matter of our worship. You know, some people have their name in the Bible, and I'm a little jealous. My name properly is not in the Bible. Matthew, my son, Micah, their names are in the Bible. It's good women names in the Bible. Ruth is in the Bible. Deborah, if you're Deborah, that's a great Bible name. You know, these are wonderful people in the Bible. The only time my name, Rob, appears in the Bible, it's very negative, and it's in Malachi 3, 8, and 9. And here's what it says, and this is God speaking. He says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you, Lord? And God says, in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Now, I wish my name wasn't in this sentence because, of course, it's the verb form. But don't miss what God's saying. This is hard. This is a hard message today. This is tough, especially I'm giving it during a pandemic and economic hardship, and I know. And yet it's the straight up truth of God's scripture. And I feel like this is a word from him that he wants our church to hear, especially as we're hopefully coming back together in person more and more in the next months. But God says, will a mere mortal rob God by not giving back what I've asked, the tithes and the offerings? Again, two separate things. And the answer, of course, is no, of course, Lord. I'm your servant. I'm here to worship you, even though it's hard. I'm going to tithe because it's you're the Lord, and you set this up, and I want to worship you that way. And I think because we're strapped, the name of this series, because there's so much debt, we talked about that a little 2 weeks ago, and I plan on talking about debt next week as we close out this series. How do we do better at saving and debt reduction in a very practical way? I think that's probably the top reason why people don't acknowledge the tithe or don't want to believe it's a command, because we just don't know where the money's going to come from. How do you tithe when we have so little and we owe so much? And that's a situation, unfortunately, that we probably put ourselves in. And that's a very, very hard thing. And this is a personal decision between you and God. What does that look like? I couldn't tell you what that looks like for you. I would only ask you today to please consider it and pray over it with God. Ask him, as your Heavenly Father, what he would have you to do if you owe a tremendous amount of debt and you're not tithing and you're not sure what to do about that. But I do know this. USA Today ran a recent article saying that Americans are spending $18,000 per year on non-essentials. And for many families, that would seem like a small number. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong that we do that. That's God's great generosity to our country. But we are now spending, on average, per person, $18,000 per year on non-essentials. Now, I said last week that to serve our Cuban pastor friends, and we're, thank the Lord, supporting 40 of them this year, it is $150 for the whole year. And you can imagine when you only have $150 for the whole year, how it might feel to learn that American spends $18,000 just in non-essentials. And yet the same Americans are the ones who say, well, I can't tithe. And that is problematic. And I think that's where God comes in and asks us, will a mere mortal rob God? For example, Americans spend more money, even Christian Americans, on going out to restaurants than they do in tithing. We now spend more money on entertainment, especially streaming video, which of course is huge. And I'm not saying it's wrong that we have that, but we spend more money on that than we do in tithing. We spend more money on online shopping, much more money on online shopping than we do in tithing. And hopefully you can have both, but sometimes you can't. And you have to make a hard choice. I know earlier in our lives, my wife and I had to make hard choices about how we would spend our non-essential money. And we had to limit some things while we also tithed. Number three, the third reason to tithe is because of what God wants to do through the local church. This is his vehicle to rescue the lost. This is his lighthouse for the world. We're to be a compelling presence for Christ. And he doesn't need our money, but he's asked for this portion of it, just as he did in the Old Testament as well. And he wants to use it for his kingdom purposes. And of course, I'm still so excited about how God wants to use our big Christmas Eve offering, just as an example of our offerings. But he also wants to use our tithe to support the ministry, to support the work, to support the laborers, to support even our building so that we can meet and gather, to support our online ministry that we're doing right here, and expand it, and to serve the poor, and to help those who are going without, and all of these amazing things. Here's the cold hard facts. Only 10 to 25% of the typical church are tithers. I'll say that again because it's hard to believe. Only 10 to 25% of typical church attenders on average are tithers. And Christians today on average are only giving 2.5% of their income to the church as a tithe to God. But it's not a tithe because tithe means 10%. 2.5% on average. And as you can imagine, that is pretty different than the way it used to be. To put that into perspective, Christians during the Great Depression, the worst economic times our country has ever seen by far, during the Great Depression, Christians gave 3.3% of their income back to the Lord through the church. That's significantly higher than it is today. And I know we're during a pandemic, but the 2.5 actually comes from before we were in pandemic. It may be much lower now during a pandemic. I assume that it is lower than 2.5%. But before the pandemic, it was 2.5%. And by the way, it gets worse as you make more money. You say, well, if I had more money, I would tithe more. Well, no, you wouldn't. Not if you're like average people. Christians who make more than $75,000 per year only tithe 1% of their income. It gets smaller as you make more money. And poorer people are actually the most generous people in the world, statistically. I heard about a man who heard a message like this, and he went to his pastor. He immediately knew the Lord was speaking to him. He said, Pastor, I want to make a commitment to you before the Lord right now that I will always tithe my money. I'm going to start today. And he, at the time, he only made $10,000 a year. This is a pretty humble income. And so he started tithing $1,000 every year to the church, and he felt so good about it. But eventually the Lord was blessing him, and pretty soon he was making $100,000 through his business every single year. And so, of course, he kept his commitment, and he tithed $10,000 to the church. I mean, it's a little more money then. And the church blossomed and benefited from his generous giving. And the Lord blessed him even more. Pretty soon this man was making $1 million a year. And now you can imagine the tithe was hurting. It was stinging a little bit, but he, believe it or not, he kept doing it. And he kept giving. And now he was giving $100,000 every year to his church. I wish he went to NCC. I'm kidding. And God blessed him even more, until now he got to the point where he was making $6 million every single year. And when he hit that mark, he said, I can't do it anymore. I cannot tithe $600,000 to the church. It's just too much. And I know God wants me to. I know I made this commitment. I just can't do it. So he went back to his pastor, and he said, look, you got to let me off the hook. Please let me off this commitment, because I made $6 million this year, and I cannot tithe $600,000. And the pastor immediately went into a prayer, a silent prayer, and he just started praying. And he prayed for a while, and the man finally interrupted. He said, why are you praying? Are you praying that God lets me out of my commitment? The pastor said, no, I'm praying that he reduces your income back to a level where you'll tithe again. And that is kind of how it operates in the church, believe it or not. The more we make, the less we give. And God says, no, I want you to give a percentage of your income and let me bless you that way. and see what God will do. And then finally and lastly, number four, the reason why God wants us to tithe is to grow our faith. I said it's a part of worship, but it's also a part of our spiritual growth. And we see this in terms of how Jesus views money and how he tells us where we put our treasure, where our treasure is, that's where our hearts are. But we also see it in terms of a practice of tithing through the years. I've seen that for myself, the practice of being stretched and seeing whether I'll be faithful to God no matter what's going on in my circumstances. I love how God puts it in Malachi 3:10. This is a really great passage about tithing, and he puts his people to the test here. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. This is like the only time that I know of that God says to his people, put me to the test in this. Put me to the test in the tithe. And people have been doing this for the years, through the years, and they always come back with the same thing that I came back with, which is you can't outgive God. He'll just bless you and bless you and bless you in so many different ways, not necessarily material, but he always blesses you in the way that you need to be blessed. And he wants to stretch your faith. And you see here, put me to the test. Try me and see. Let your faith grow. And when you tithe and really stretch yourself to do that, your faith becomes more dependent upon the Lord to provide. And you start to see the Lord's provision in all that you do. It's an amazing thing. I started tithing when I was just 14 years old. And back then I made $3.65 an hour. That was minimum wage. I still remember that. $3.65 an hour. And it didn't seem like much washing dishes, but I always tithe because I thought that was the right thing to do. And then later, when I got married, I couldn't find a very good job. So I was a machine operator making $7 an hour. And I tithed, making $7 an hour, now married and having to afford an apartment and living on our own. And we were still able to do that. And then fast forward to now that I make $8 an hour, I still tithe. I kid. I make $8.50 an hour. But I still tithe. Of course, as a pastor, and some people think, well, you don't need to tithe because some of that money goes to your income. Well, that's true, but I don't think of it that way. It's just an obedience to God. Of course, I'm going to obey him. And of course, you try to be a generous giver and have a generous spirit. And all that time, my faith has grown and it's been stretched. And when things were meager and tough and we didn't know quite where it was going to come from, God always showed up. When we had debt that we were trying to get rid of, God always provided. As long as we did it his way. And when you don't do it his way, you'll find this principle also true that there's a curse involved in it. And so we want to stretch ourselves. So I think the question to leave you with this morning is, will you trust God? Will you trust him? Will you let him stretch your faith? Do you believe him at his word? And will you let him be on the test? Because he said, that's okay. Let me show you. And let 2021 be a year where you have a new resolution to give. And I can't tell you the amount or whether you jump right to 10% or whether you're already there and you're considering 12% however God leads you. That's between you and the Lord. But I can tell you that your faith will grow as you follow God in this way. Your worship will be richer, and you will see in many different forms the blessings of our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together now. So, Father, we do want to put this before you. It's to the blessing of your kingdom that we give, and we want you to use it, multiply it in many ways. Even in our humble local church, we want to use this money to make an impact in our community. We want to be a compelling presence for Jesus Christ. We want to shine like stars. We want to be the lights of Christ in so many different ways, and we know tithing would be just one of those important ways. We also pray that you will stretch our faith. You will meet the finances of our church. We also want to pray that you will bless each person who commits to doing this, Lord, even today, for your glory, and you will provide every need. And We pray for those who are in tremendous hardship too, Lord, that this is probably bad timing for them to hear this message. We ask that you would speak to their hearts, you would meet their every financial need, and you would take care of their money woes and debt and anything they would owe because of the faithfulness to you. And Lord, we give you all the credit and the praise for what you want to do, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you, church. Don't forget, we've been signing up for the Alpha Course. Look for that on Facebook for a link on that. Or you can, if you're in person on Sunday, you can see the sign up there. Alpha Course is going to be online this season, starting on February 10th, and it's for those investigating Christianity. If you're leaning in today and you're not yet a Christian, the Alpha Course would be a great step for you. There's no charge. There's no pressure. It's really just an investigation to see what the claims of Christianity really are and to talk that out with other people who are also searching for that kind of truth in a very honest way. And so I personally lead that course, and I really enjoy hearing from people's hearts. And if you'd like to sign up for that, check out the sign up on Facebook. Or again, you could sign up in person on Sunday. Have a great day.